Inconsistent.
Secret Service, first ever in history.
To run never before there was a blank?
I think so. No, I'm just saying, maybe you should have. But I'm just saying, he puts a black
I love it.
He puts a black man there, and everybody's like, Trump's a racist. He's like, I'm trusting a black man with my life every day.
Do you think that Secret Services should be given, so let's say we're the Democratic Party. Next year, this is a perfect example, next year. Yeah. Next year, it's going to be fresh off the gate, right? If Trump wins, there's not going to be anybody except Vance that's going to be trying to go for it. So he automatically got Secret Service already because he's vice president.
Yeah.
He already got the Secret Service.
J.D. Wentworth. J.D. Wentworth.
That's gonna stick now for him.
Yeah.
Wait, does the vice president get Secret Service for the rest of their life?
Oh
yeah.
Oh, I don't know about the rest of their life.
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Here's another thing.
You know, we can find out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ask your phone. Ask the god of the internet.
Does the vice president get Secret Service for the rest of their life?
Their spouses and their children under 16 years of age, for up to 6 months from the date the former vice president leaves office, the Secretary of Homeland Security can authorize temporary protection of these individuals at any time after that period.
Wait, that didn't answer the question.
Only for 6 months? Ask about president.
Does the president get Secret Service for life?
According to NPR, Trump's close call, a detailed timeline. Former presidents receive Secret Service protection for life unless they decline it.
Oh, they
yeah, go. They do. But not vice presidents.
Fuck them.
The other thing. Fuck them. That's why you're number two, nigga. Fuck.
You should have ran for president.
Exactly. You picked the wrong job. If you and I are running next year, there's nobody for the Democratic thing. You and I are the forerunners. And does the Secret Service get enacted when we become the nominee or when we become the president?
I think they get it as a nominee. I think you get it because you're a potential president.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think you get it from that point forward.
From that point forward, you get the Secret Service.
You should, for sure.
Shit, you're the guy.
You think? Imagine Secret Service just waiting at the door for you to win the presidency, and then they burst in. All right, we're here. Now we're working. Now,
Doug,
we're
on shift. Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to watch you now. We're going to wait around the block. And then as soon as they announce that you're president, you win the day of election. Okay, we're going to run it.
This nigga, and did you see his speech?
Who?
Trump's nomination speech?
I didn't watch it at all. Only thing I watched was Hulk Hogan.
Fuck. You watched Hulk Hogan?
Bro.
Just that part.
Just. That's when I think Joe Biden was like, nah, I'm not fucking this guy. Done. He got the NWO behind him. I'm not doing it.
I think his wife was writing that letter like, it's okay, Joe. You keep doing that. You're doing a great job.
He's eating ice cream.
He's just eating.
Yo, did you see the clip where he's talking to this lady? And he looks like he's about to kiss her, and his wife runs over and stops him. This just happened, nigga.
Oh my God, bro.
It's so like, yo, he must have thought that was his wife. He was like, he was about to kiss her, and his wife comes running over. You gotta see it. She's like running over, like stopping him.
You think it's.
And then that's when they announce that he's not gonna be president anymore after that point.
What? Oh my God, do you think. You think that he so here's the argument that they're making now is that if he doesn't feel qualified to run his, because he's not saying he's not qualified to run.
No, he's just saying I don't want to do it.
He's just saying I don't think I have a road. I'm being advised that I don't have a road forward.
Doing the next whatever.
Well, is it fair to say that is he competent to serve the rest of his term?
I don't think he was competent from the beginning, first of all. So don't even ask me that question.
Don't even go there, Jose.
Yeah.
Fucking moron.
Especially, I mean, we wasn't sure before. After the debate, you know he wasn't competent. But I think that, I mean, he might as well just hold on for the next 6 months until.
Dear life.
Yeah, just hold on for the next
You're
6 months.
You're not going to hear from him at all.
No.
Biden barely. Is gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Biden is
What he would do probably is tell Kamala Harris, take the lead. You do all the speeches. You know, show your face out there.
Something happens, and
yeah, all these special meetings that the cameras are gonna be taking pictures. You go. You sit at my table.
Something happens with Israel. Something happens with Ukraine. Yeah, right. It's gonna be her.
Yeah, her walking out there.
I'm sending the
you
most.
You think you fell out of a coconut tree? You haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna send it to you, and you're gonna put it in here.
My mother used to. She would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, "I don't know what's wrong with you, young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you."
All right. And on this episode of GED's Word, we are covering.
So there's this conversation, this ongoing conversation.
What initiated the conversation?
Busta Rhymes.
Okay. Busta Rhymes, let's go.
There's a video of him talking, and he goes, "We cannot forget that in the beginning of hip hop, the Puerto Ricans were there with us. The Puerto Ricans were there while we created this thing called hip hop. We can't forget that." And then the internet is like, "Nah, hip hop is black culture. Don't say that." And all I keep thinking about is, where did hip hop start? In the South Bronx. Go to the South Bronx right now and tell me what you see.
Everything.
You see black people, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans.
You even see white trash?
Yeah, all there. So obviously black people took that, and they, you know, to another. Why didn't Puerto Ricans take it? Because we got salsa, merengue, you know, Dominicans got bachata. We got our shit.
Dembow.
We got something we mess with. You know what I'm saying? So the black people took the music.
We even took reggae and made it reggae.
Yeah. So, of course, the black people are spearheaded it, because we had hip hop and we had these other things that we're messing with. You know what I'm saying? So it makes sense, because, you know, we're spread amongst a lot of things, and they only have this one thing.
Ooh, see the way you phrase that? Go ahead.
Yeah. So they're more focused on this angle of music, where we have different avenues to express ourselves. All of our artists go in different directions. You know what I'm saying? Not to say there's not other stuff they do, but they're in the area that they were at, in the South Bronx.
It's the same way the blacks are trying to get into the countryside.
Go ahead. No problem.
But go for it.
So my
we just did that early.
Yeah. So then my...
As Latinos, we were in everything.
We do everything.
Because we're fucking nosy.
We fuck everybody. Let's be real. That's what happens. We get into everything. So, you know, clearly, I mean, there's video proof of, you know, some of these people that you see, you know, the pictures, whatever, you don't know that they're Spanish. You just look at some people that look a little dark skin, got a little melanin in them, and you think, oh, they're probably light skin black. You don't know that.
You ever seen those videos of, Spanish people are not in this culture, and then they show you, like, all the people that are in there, and I'm like, I didn't know this nigga was Spanish. Artists.
Yeah. You know, there was a...
Actresses, actors, singers. You're like, oh, shit, I didn't know this.
It's funny, because there's a place in Harlem. It's called the Schomburg Center. Schomburg, I forget what his first name is. He's known as the person that brought forth black history. Because when he was in school, people were like, or his teachers were like, oh, black people didn't do nothing. There's no real history. And he decided himself to...
Schomburg?
Schomburg, yeah.
Schomburg.
He decided to go himself and investigate it and be like, yo, there's no way black people didn't do anything in history. And he brought a lot of things that black people did within history. So from that point forward, you know, Black History Month, you got to write book reports and all that. So he was kind of one of the people that started this thing.
Okay.
Know? He was born in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rican.
Who else is Drake Spanish?
No. Drake is Jewish.
Rihanna?
She is from Barbados.
Okay.
Jim Jones.
Okay.
Dipset. Puerto Rican. Fabulous. Dominican. Dominican. There's a lot of people. I mean, but it's not just Puerto Ricans. Think about it. DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Right? What is that? Montana. Forgot his first name. Whatever.
Not he's, Joe Montana.
No.
Khaled is...
I think he's Palestinian. DJ Khaled. And then you have... whatever his name is, Montana. He's from Morocco. Okay. He's African.
So what's stemming the beef? What did this?
So a lot of people are saying like, no, but Puerto Ricans weren't there. It's just a black thing.
Because Busta Rhymes wanted to give a shout out.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously Busta Rhymes has been there for a long time. And then KRS-One is another one that said the same thing. We can't forget the input that our Puerto Rican brothers gave to us during this time in the beginning of hip hop. You know, I'm sure we're gonna find it and put it up, but they're literally saying it. And now, if anybody was in the beginning, KRS-One was in the beginning.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He was one of the pioneers of the music. So if anybody's the closest to it, or the heart of it, it's got to be him. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like KRS-One is just some rapper. KRS-One is known. There must be something nasty in there because I see you
looking. It's the ice, but it's so thin that it made it look like it was a bug.
KRS-One is known as a teacher within hip hop music. His music is teaching you things. So if anybody wants to teach you something, you better pay attention. You know, if it's KRS-One, he knows what he's talking about. So my thing too is that it's not just this thing. It's a wider conversation of what is culture. What does that even mean? You know what I'm saying? When we say black culture, what do we mean by that? What does that mean, black culture?
Yeah.
What do you think about what that means?
I think about their history. I think about like the shit that they cook, the shit that they eat.
Exactly. Yep. I think the same thing.
The clothing that they wear.
But do you think when you say black culture, do you think Jamaicans, Haitians, Africans?
I feel like you're adding. I feel like plus.
Yeah.
Plus.
So I don't. When I think black culture, I think of an American definition of black culture, the American blacks.
Yeah,
the Jamaicans, because their culture is clearly different. They have a whole nother, you know, history. You know what I'm saying? The Haitians have a whole nother history.
So when you think of blacks, black?
That's what I think of. When I think black culture, I think of American blacks. I think about their culture, what they do, they cook, what they eat. Chitlins, greens, right?
Collard greens. Fried chicken.
Not to say that other people don't eat that stuff. But I'm just saying, but jerk chicken's more Caribbean.
That's when we start.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, not to say that black people don't like that stuff, because clearly black Americans love that stuff. But that's from the Caribbean culture.
So like Biggie's black American culture, Akon?
Akon is African. From Africa, from the heart, the motherland. Wakanda forever. He's Wakandan. If anybody's Wakandan, it's Akon. Blacker than darkness, bro.
He is the night.
Akon, yeah.
But that's the difference.
There's a difference in culture there. Akon grew up wearing a different outfit than Biggie did.
Right.
Eating different food, speaking even a different language, living in different type of housing. His culture is different. So when I think about black culture, I don't think necessarily hip hop. To me, hip hop is more of an urban culture. Because there's black people that grew up on jazz.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Big time. It's a different culture. Hip hop is an urban.
Do you agree with Busta Rhymes' assessment that?
The reason why I agree with him is because my view on the urban culture is that it's a melting pot. Again, if I go to the South Bronx,
consisting of
many people that grew up in this environment, that carved this culture out of this island in the Bronx. Now, in me saying that, I also see that there is a difference between Puerto Ricans on the island and Puerto Ricans in New York. We have a common culture, but we are different in New York.
Huge.
We have a divergent culture.
Yeah, we're right. We have a culture that has been influenced by and influencing of other cultures.
So when
my grandmother had her 80th birthday, we all went over there. We all chipped in. This lady got mad grand, like whatever. OD amount. And we're going over there and we're like, you know what? Let's just give money to the people that live over there with her so they could set up the party and all the events and all the nuances. And we just roll up.
Like, yeah.
So here's the money.
We'll just give you the money. You set it up.
We go. So when we went there, okay, boom. They rented a hall. Great. Right, da, 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 da. And then they hired some entertainment events. Bro, we all looked at each other like, what the fuck is racist. They had like a clown making jokes, and they were all laughing at the jokes, and we're all like,
"What is going on?"
Fake laughing, like
it's a kids show. Because in their culture,
it was just
it reminds me of, damn, I can't even remember the show. There was a show on Telemundo or something where they would dress up like kids, but they were adults.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember them.
Wasn't that Sábado Gigante?
It wasn't. It was like after Sábado Gigante or something. It was just a bunch of people that were clearly adults.
Oh my God.
And but they like were dressed like guy? Kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So to them, that's funny.
Huge.
To us, because what? we're a different, I don't want to say a different evolution of it. Like we're hot, like we grew out of that almost. So for us, we look at it like that's the past.
Yeah.
So when you look at the clowns, you're like, that's old laughter. That's like, you know.
That's that like 80s sitcom.
Yeah,
like,
it's not really funny anymore. We're in a different level. The way I imagine New Yorkers and Puerto Ricans, the difference is the way I imagine, now this is going to sound wild, Africans and Puerto Ricans. So like if you look at salsa, it's basically African music taken and carved out. Mixed with,
not that it's better, it came, there's a, it diverged from there,
yes,
but that point it diverged.
Yeah, we've taken this and we turned it and we evolved it into our own thing. We molded it the way we like it, you know what I'm saying? We mix it with some of the Spanish guitars from Spain.
That's why you can't really, that's a big argument or a big conversation point where you can't really define where salsa came from.
Exactly, because salsa, just like the word salsa, it's a melting pot of different things.
Different things.
You know, so we have the drums. There's a song from Mark Anthony, I forget what the name of it is, but there's a break there where he's like, doom,
yeah, all you hear is,
and you hear, and you hear the drums, and all I can hear is like, this is an African drum.
It's actually Hector Lavoe. Oh, Aguanile.
Yeah, but you listen to him like, this is an African drum.
Santo Dios.
But then you listen to salsa, you hear the ding, 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 ding with the piano. That's our shit. But then sometimes you hear the guitar. Like, you know, the I forgot the name of the guy. The blind guy, the guitar. Oh, I forgot the guy's name.
Blind guy.
Yeah, he plays the guitar real good. He's a Spanish guy. Oh, I forget. But anyway, he plays the guitar and there's a melody that we know. When you hear it, you know already, oh, that's a Spanish guitar. The riff. You know what I'm saying? So, again, salsa is a melting pot of all these things put together. And the way I imagine Puerto Rican coming out of birth from all these different things,
yeah,
is the way I imagine New Yorkers. We take that Puerto Rican and we take the ghetto-ness of New York and we make our own thing out of
so
it.
So you're saying hip-hop is that definition in and itself?
Yeah.
That it's spearheaded by the blacks.
It's, yeah, but it's made by the people within the environment.
Which consisted of more than just the blacks.
More than just blacks. You got Puerto Ricans there. I know you definitely had maybe some Arabs, maybe even some white people. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody would party together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe you had the DJing from, you know, from this culture, but you have the dancing from this culture. And you have the people that like to rhyme or sing from this other culture. And they mixed together. They made this thing called hip-hop.
Yeah, and these people dress kind of cool. So we adapted that dress to associate to that type of music. And that became the music genre, clothing for that.
So I imagine hip-hop as a melting pot of the environment it was born in.
So what? The blacks are just flipping out because they just want to get credit for this shit?
Basically, that's what it is.
So take the fucking credit. Go crazy. Yeah, hold it down for a few years until the next society decides that you guys are fucking morons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
But the reason why I brought it up is because this really made me think of, what is culture? What does that mean? So like one of the conversations I had, he's basically, oh, you know, if it's black, then it's black culture. And I was like, so then what if it was a black cowboy? Is that black culture? He's like, yeah. I was like, but we, black, the cowboy culture is from the South, mostly from like the Texas region, you know, Western, you know, maybe Southwestern is a lot of the cowboy culture. A lot of Mexicans have that culture. You know what I'm saying?
So if you ask me the definition of culture in the context that we're describing, I would say that culture is a group of people with a set of traditions and or values that are constantly changing.
Yeah. And I also think culture, I don't think it's exclusively, but I think it's very regional.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you put a group of 10 people, and then they start, you know, they have these rituals and whatnot. But, you know, we explore, we expand, so that community grows, and some of them venture out. Yeah. And it just becomes a clusterfuck. That's why they say that there won't be an original Irish person in the future. There won't be an original...
Yeah, because we're going to be mixing always. Yeah.
But maybe there really wasn't ever an original anything.
Yeah, no, of course not. Because, okay, maybe, okay, like going back to Puerto Ricans. Yeah, sure, we got this drum or this dance from Africa. Where did they get that from?
Right, it keeps going down. Yeah. So, like...
Is the beat taken from this one culture, but the actual sound of the drum made by this other culture that they put together and made it into this thing that we took and turned it into this thing that got transferred over to New York. Yeah. And we used the drums. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never ends. It's passing it to here to there. And again, I view culture more as regional, that we develop it within this environment that we're in.
And because America's so diverse, that development is going to be unique to that region.
Yeah. Then they also say that
a perfect example is the style of music between the West and the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly.
Night and day.
So
same
now,
country.
That conversation. Now, hip hop itself, I think, and this is a deeper conversation even more, I think hip hop itself is at a point now where we need to make a differentiation between different types of hip hop music. Because we make hip hop into one big category, but I think there's different genres within hip hop.
What would some of those genres be?
So, like, an example being when you listen to
Is Taylor Swift hip hop?
No. She's pop. Yeah. But I also think
so what's hip hop?
I think there's hip pop, where it's like hip hop, but it's pop. So an example is basically any Pitbull song. Right?
That's such a good one.
Right? That's not hip hop really.
That's a Taylor Swift.
It's a vibe. It's a pop vibe. Drake. You know what I'm saying? Drake is another one. A lot of hip, not to say he doesn't make hip hop, but he makes a lot of hip pop. And that's why he's very popular within the white.
Is rap within hip hop, or are those two different?
I think rap and hip hop. I think hip hop contains rap.
Hip hop contains rap. Rap does not contain.
I think hip-hop. Rap could contain hip hop. But I think rap doesn't necessarily need. So, for instance, hip hop is more like a bumping, grooving, like you want to dance to it. You know what I'm saying? Rap doesn't necessarily have to be like that. Rap could be very gutter and hardcore.
It could be sad.
Yeah, you just gotta listen to the words I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like rap. That's why they have battle rap. You're not gonna dance to battle rap.
Right. So rap, you're listening to the story, and
it's the words that matter. It's the context.
And hip hop is about
the beat.
The melody,
yeah.
The
rhyme, beat. It's more. That's what I'm saying. It contains rap because it's the words and it's the beats. Rapping doesn't necessarily need the beats. You just need the words. You know what I'm saying? And rap is also a diversion from spoken word. Right. Spoken word, you know, is
it's like a diversion of poetry.
Exactly. You know, so now the same way we talked about culture is the same way we're talking about culture within rap now.
Okay.
You got poetry. You got spoken word. Now you got rap. Then you got hip hop. So I think rap itself has these subgenres within itself. So like me and you listen to music from the 90s, let's say. These kids nowadays don't listen to that. To them, that's a different kind of music to them.
But they know it.
We're more of a classic contemporary rap.
Not the classic word right? In front of me.
You know, and then if you listen to like old school KRS-One, Kool Herc, vintage hip hop. It's a different vintage. It's now even for us that listen to 90s hip hop, when we listen to Kool Herc, that's old to us. That vibe doesn't really flow with me. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a different. It's hip hop for sure. It's rap even, but it's different. It's a sub genre
of it. Where we think about Biggie, that's ours.
Yeah, we think about Biggie, that's us.
That's ours.
To us, that's the golden age.
That's it. We don't even put a time title behind it. That's exactly. Ours. That's ours. My time.
Yeah. But again, if you talk
it's to not the old, like you just mentioned,
yeah.
Right?
To us, that's old. Yeah.
Hippity hip hop.
To us, that's old school.
To us, that's old school.
But to kids, our music is old school. We have a different.
And to kids, the old our old school is vintage,
bro. That's like you gotta listen to it on a record. You know what I'm saying? Ours are CDs and tapes.
They're MP3s.
Yeah. You know, you listen to Kool Herc, either that's a freaking record or what is that called? The freaking you know what I'm talking about?
A-track.
Right? Yeah, yeah. A-track. So that's why I think that the hip hop is at the point now. Again, we're talking about West Coast, East Coast. Think about when the West Coast music came out with NWA, that felt different. That was like violent music. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? New York City, we had things where we'd throw jabs at each other, but it was never like, I'm going to kill you. It was always like joking, like, I'm going to beat you up or whatever. In fact, at work, we were saying it because we were joking around because somebody's from the Bronx, somebody's from Queens. And there's a line in one of the songs that says, Bronx keep creating it, right? They created hip hop, right? Bronx keep creating it. Manhattan keep on making it. Brooklyn keep on taking it. And Queens keep on faking it.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was like a diss rhyme that they did with each other. I mean, listen to MWA. They're not making little jabs like that. But, you know, they don't want to battle rap with each other. They're like, I'm going to kill you.
And Staten Island never made it.
Staten Island didn't even get involved.
Never got even
in those it. Times, Staten Island plus still had farmland. You know what I'm saying?
They were still filling it in with all the garbage. Yeah.
But you see how there's a divergence there. When the West Coast had their music, it's different. And even during our time, when we were young enough, there was a point, remember when Down South came? Remember when Little John and the East Side Boys and all these guys came out? It was a different version of hip-hop. You're like, yeah! It was more like a party. Yeah. Jumping, bouncing, you know what I'm saying? Then the Midwest.
Get low.
Nelly came out, the Midwest, with their swinging music was kind of like, you know, it was a different vibe to it. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, New York is boom bap. You know what I'm saying? Boom bap hip hop. You know? So, like, we all have our different subgenres within, even within the same time frame, we have different types of hip hop music.
So, you agree with Busta Rhymes' assessment of hip hop?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, again, when you analyze the cultures, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense that they were born in a vacuum and nobody else in the neighborhood heard about this music and they just carried it along and it became popular with them.
I was listening to Numb with Jay-Z and
yes,
what's the name of the band? Oh my god,
how can I forget?
I was just listening to it yesterday.
Linkin Park.
Yes, there was a time when I was in my teenage year where I started seeing the cross between those two genres.
Yeah.
And thought to myself, this is so good.
Yeah.
This is so great that they're crossing.
Yeah. There was, remember Limp Bizkit and Method Man had a song. Shut the fuck up.
So my thing is like, what happened to that car? Like, what? So when I hear this argument of, you know, who got credit for what, it's like, bro,
everybody provided something.
Everybody threw a little, yeah. And it's still happening.
Everybody threw some spices in the salsa. Everybody
like now with the black culture stepping into country, you know, it was a big deal about Beyonce that came out with a country album, and everyone was like, making a big rift about it. I was like, even in history, you can't compare. You can't expect the music to stay the same.
Yeah, no way. It's always gonna evolve. Always.
It has to. I mean, who wants to listen? Yeah. Although I love listening to the old shit, but throw a new beat in there, like, so throw, like, something.
I have friends that listen to these white people. They just listen to rock. They love rock. They have the subgenres. They have classic rock. They have metal. But when you talk about Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park, that's called new rock. N-U rock, right? They have a different they're separated from the rest. They're like, this is its own subgenre within our rock.
Contemporary, box. Classic, new rock.
It's just subgenre.
Hard rock, soft rock.
Exactly.
Damn, how much more other rocks
that's
are
what
there?
I'm saying. But hip-hop doesn't really have that. We don't label them like that. We know what instinctively we know.
Grunge is also rock.
Yeah. That's what...
What was Nirvana?
Nirvana's grunge.
Grunge?
Grunge. Nirvana, I mean, in my opinion, Nirvana invented that grunge scene.
Nirvana is that, is that thing. So, yeah, I mean...
But we don't use those words.
What do you mean? What words?
The way rock uses these subgenres to define themselves...
We don't.
Within hip-hop, we don't really do that.
It's hip-hop, you heard?
It's hip-hop, that's it. So we'll put Nas in the same category as we put the mumble rappers.
The ones that don't say words?
Basically. And you listen to them, you're like, I guess it's hip-hop, but they're definitely different. because Nas is telling you a story. Nas is telling you a story backwards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? These mobile rappers ain't doing that.
They don't even know what they're saying.
Yeah, they're not even saying words.
You know what I think
some
about
of them are making sounds. They're just making sounds.
Maybe they're that version of the Spanish version of, you know, the artist that used beep, bop, boop, bop, beep, yeah, yeah. The whole song with
but
just
even,
sounds.
But even that is, they're taking it from scat.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Is like a deviation of jazz.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a category of jazz, but with your mouth. You know what I'm saying? And then salsa, I mean, we know this. Salsa is Spanish jazz.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what
it is. If you listen to old school, like you talk about Hector Lavoe, if you listen to salsa around that time, there's points where they're just jamming, bro.
It's
no
like,
words.
Like 2 minutes of like.
Yeah. They're taking turns.
Next instrument. Next instrument.
And now Mark Anthony's newer. I mean, he's at this point, he's older, you know, music. But even Mark Anthony incorporates that jazz because he tells his boy, what's his boy's name?
Sergio.
He tells Sergio, go. Dale.
Hit it.
Yeah. And he lets Sergio, yo, you know you're going to jam out. Go for it, bro.
I was on stream the 2 nights ago and this nigga pulls out the congas, bro. He starts playing Hector Lavoe and oh, Mark so Anthony. Good. And all you hear is him hitting the congas and you hear it really clear. And I was like,
that stuff makes me jealous.
I know, right?
Because I wish I would have grew up in a household that had that. Yeah.
So why doesn't hip hop embrace the subgenres and officiate it?
That's a good question. And I think
it's still cool. You came from hip hop, you heard? Like that subgenre, yeah. You hold that. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, call it whatever you want and then
contemporary hip hop. And exactly. Make it a thing.
Make it your thing.
Because it's only gonna elevate the original source.
Yeah, and then you got other people that come in, they're like, man, I really like that subgenre. I'm going to make that kind of hip-hop.
Right, and it also encourages new music or new ways of thinking because it's like
creativity.
I'm going to take this contemporary hip-hop and I'm going to mix in this classic and a little bit of vintage and then throw a spin on it. Yeah.
And that allows...
But I also get that they want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But you're not letting go.
But that also allows for the resurrection of older genres.
To come back.
There's a group, and I forget the name of it, because we were having this long conversation at one point, me and Johnny. There's a group of these guys, these new guys, within hip-hop that make old-school hip-hop music. And you listen to it, and you swear it sounds like it's from the 80s. But that's the way they rap. I'm sorry, not the 80s, like the 90s. Because you listen to it, you're like, yo, this could have came out when Wu-Tang came out, 100%, the way they're rapping.
I would describe it like, imagine making like an Oscar-winning movie that's like really good. Like, what's a good, not a movie effects or whatever, but like a good movie that has like a good story behind it. Like, what would you think of fucking...
Shawshank Redemption.
But filming it with a 1950 camera.
Oh, but that's what what's his name? Steven Spielberg did with that German movie.
Which one was it?
The Hitler one, whatever it's called. I forgot what it's called. Schindler's List. He made it in black and white. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he basically made an old school movie in modern times. Even now, like they're just reminding me. On TikTok, I see these two girls. They're making new freestyle music.
Wow.
Now they want to bring back this genre. They love freestyle. They started doing freestyle music, and it sounds great. You listen to it, you're like, that's freestyle, 100%. That's freestyle music.
But they're
girls. You know, they're young girls that make it. They're in their 20s or whatever.
That's dope.
And it's fire, bro.
That's dope.
You know,
that's actually dope.
But there was a genre, and they're bringing it back, they're trying to bring it back, whatever. But still, but like if you just say it's hip hop, then there's only forward evolution.
From
like
there.
You can never go back and be like, yo, I want to bring back this Limp Bizkit and Jay-Z. I want to bring back that type of vibe.
So maybe this argument is necessary for the evolution of the genre and art, or at the very least, the evolution of our perspective of the music world. Because, you know, I get the whole, this is ours. Like, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have shit. You know what I mean? Like, we come up. I get that mentality. I could hear that argument. Like, yeah. They're trying to take our shit. Like, no. It'll always be yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You keep it. You know what I mean?
We've made our own. We've made Spanish.
We're on this side too. You know what I mean? And it's okay if we were part of it.
Yeah.
It's not like Busta Rhymes is saying they're the originals.
Yeah, no, 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 absolutely. I wouldn't. I would never say that.
That's not.
They were just saying, look, it's not just you guys. There's a lot of people there.
There were other people in the mix. Shout out to them.
Yeah. Shout out to exactly. Just shout out.
Shout out to them. You know, they it's great.
They took that and they turned it into. I don't know if you. Oh, man, there was a point when I was a kid.
The same way, I guess Busta Rhymes is saying. The same way, I can give a shout out to them for inputting into this thing that we're calling ours. They're gonna give a shout out to us with the shit that they created.
Oh yeah.
Because of the influences of ours.
And they're gonna point back to you guys and be like, yo, if it wasn't for them,
yeah,
we would never be here.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is, let's say reggaeton, you know, it's a combination of rap, trap, is a combination of rap, so shout out to, or a combination of hip hop, shout out to the hip hop community.
Shout out to El General.
Yo, the original. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's territorial.
We look at reggaeton and right away we think Puerto Rico. El General is not Puerto Rican. What was he, from Nicaragua or something like that?
I think so. Trinidadian or something like that.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, even that, what we took and perfected, basically. It's not even, we took that and we're like, we're going to make this our own. You know what I'm saying? Same thing we did with salsa. We took everything, we made it our own. You know, and I, you know, this may be going totally off the deep end or conspiracy territory, but it may be because that's how we were made. You know, we're not from a thousand, you know, million years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can say we're African from a thousand years ago. Puerto Ricans are new within the past 500 years, even.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're brand new culture. We're brand new people. We didn't even exist. Our people don't go that far back. You know what I'm saying? We're a mixture of different things.
Like what you see now just popped off.
Yeah, exactly. We're still working our way up the ladder.
500 years ago, we were
freaking Indians.
We were Indians.
We were Indians. We were African slaves. We were Spanish conquistadors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they mixed together and now we're here.
Yeah. Making reggaeton. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, we're still figuring
it out. We're literally figuring it out. You know how much arguments come out of like what a patele is? Yeah. Bro.
But it's funny because like the reason why Puerto Ricans really hold on to the Taino heritage is because we're definitely not Spanish conquistadors.
We're definitely not Africans.
And we're definitely not Africans. So we're this.
We're this.
We bring back our heritage to these Tainos. Because that's to us, that's our heritage. That's as far back as we can go. But reality is, we're a mixture of these three heritages.
And I think more specifically, we hold on to the Tainos because the Taino doesn't exist anymore. Whereas you still have Spaniards.
Yeah.
You still have Africans. Yeah. But you don't have Tainos anymore.
They only survive in our blood.
Exactly. There's not like, oh, well, let's go back to the motherland no more. There's just this is what we are now.
This is what we have.
Yeah. But we hold on to that because that's the only thing that doesn't exist anymore. And that's the thing that's more, I guess, more sacred. That makes sense.
Yeah. And because, you know, we're mixed. We're a mixed race of people. We mix things together, you know, and we make salsa. Salsa was born in New York, too, by the way. So that's another thing. Did you know that? Salsa was born in New York City.
Yeah.
You know what else was born in New York City?
What?
The Puerto Rican flag.
Yeah, that's another one. We held that strong. That was a fight. That was a fight for that one.
That only happened because the United States made it illegal to have a Puerto Rican flag in Puerto Rico.
And that's because we were fighting.
And that was before we had the Puerto Rican flag. We had the other flag. I forgot the name of it. The one with the four, the two, you know, the two red on top, the two blue on the bottom, vice versa. I can't remember the name of the flag. I forgot the name of the flag, but they banned it.
I don't remember the name at all.
So there was a conversation in New York with the Cubans, the revolutionaries, and we were like, yo, we're gonna make our flag like yours but backwards.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And they still look alike, the flags.
Yeah,
like literally one color separates them.
And you know, I think genealogically, I think we're closest to Cubans
than any other,
than mostly any other than the Canary Islands. Did you know that?
No.
The Canary Islands were, I think we're mostly related to the Canary, people within the Canary Islands, which is in Africa.
That's interesting.
Well,
not really. Okay.
Genetically, we're the closest.
That's actually not interesting because you would imagine that's where the Spaniards went.
Yeah.
Because that's where you had.
And the people in the Canary Islands are also a mix of indigenous Indians, Spanish conquistadors, and African
slaves. Right, they went over there and then they came over here.
Yep.
Pit stop.
So that's in Africa. Well, technically, it's part of Spain. Spain owns the island still. But it's in Africa. It's like the coast.
So where does this hip-hop argument end?
I don't think anybody's going to give up ground. I think it was one of those things. I was like, yo, this is ours. I don't think it matters. I got to be honest with you. Because, again, it involves... Will
subgenres evolve and become its own
thing? I hope so, because it doesn't make sense that these different vibe of sounds are the same. They're clearly different. You know what I'm saying? You listen to Nas and you listen to these freaking mumble rap. It's totally different. You know what I'm saying? In fact, mumble rap is its own subgenre that belongs separate. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's a vein that follows a straight path of this classic hip hop sound that still holds.
So what would you call this song? Miss Yele.
I think that's in the vein of hip hop. The just classic regular down the road.
What hip-hop. About I am whatever I say I am?
Again, if I think that's a hip hop.
Hip hop as well.
I think that's a straight down the line hip hop.
That's hip hop as well.
You know, So
what's They're Not Like Us? They're Not Like Us.
That's also So now, if speaking of that song, you can hear the rap within that because he says some shit.
Yes,
Eminem is a rapper.
He's not a hip hop artist.
No, that's secondary.
That's secondary. That's his sub.
That's his subgenre.
So my major is rap, but my minor. Yeah,
I'm a rapper, and then I get a producer to turn it into hip hop so I can make my money. Drake is an actor.
He's not even in the same category.
No, because he doesn't make his own raps. He got ghostwriters writing his raps.
Ah, so he's a performer. He's an
intern. I'm not hating on him. Bro, he's rich. He did the smart move saying, I'm not a rapper, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay somebody to write my rhymes, I'm going to pay somebody to make my beats, and I'm going to make my music, and I'm going to sell it.
A performer only performs. An entertainer can...
Well, I mean, when you're on stage, you're an entertainer, a performer.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
And you know who else is like that too? Cardi B. She's not a rapper.
She's not a rapper. She's an entertainer.
She's performer. An entertainer, performer. Yeah.
She's not a creator.
Nope. I don't think she writes much of her rhymes.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has input. I'm sure Drake has input. You know? And at this point, they probably write a few songs here and there. But I mean, when you talk about hits, it's proven at this point because people started exposing Drake. Was like, no. We're going to show you reference. They're called reference tracks. Where it's like, imagine I rap and I pass it to you. I'm like, all right, just copy everything I said, exactly how I said it. And then you rap it and then you put it out there and you sell it. This reference track that I rap for you so you can repeat it, basically, those are coming out. Mm. It's just another random rapper that you never heard of writing a rhyme for Drake so he can make big money off it. And Drake is just
so it's in the fine print.
Yeah. So now there's no name rapper. If he put that song out, it's not going anywhere. He's got no name.
You know, a lot of that is Mark Anthony too. A lot of the songs that he comes out with,
he writes for Drake. Is that what you're saying?
If that's the case, I want to listen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but a lot of the stuff that Mark Anthony pulls out is not his own words.
Yeah, but I think singing is different than rapping. Because rapping, there's a heart. You have to be your own rapper.
No, I mean,
to demand respect, you got to be the guy to write it. Singing.
But it's not his words.
Not anybody can sing. You know what I mean?
And everyone can rap?
Anybody. Me and you can make a rap mom right now.
I cannot rap.
You can rap. Because they cut it.
Right.
They copy and paste it.
All right, practice this line.
Exactly. They did that with Eazy-E. I don't know if you know who Eazy-E is from NWA. He wasn't a rapper. He was a gangbanger drug dealer. But because he was providing money, he's like, I want to be on the track. So what they did was, they're literally recording him say stuff like, that sounds bad. Just cut that piece. Take this other piece.
Put it together. Yeah. Editing.
Yeah. And that's what they did. So anybody can do it nowadays.
We should. We're always saying this, by the way. We're always saying we should do this, and we never do shit.
You don't do nothing. Yeah.
But it would be dope to hear my own voice in a rap.
Yeah.
In a made up.
I mean, now you could just. You probably could record it and tell ChatGPT, "Yo, hook me up."
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not ChatGPT, but there's got to be an AI. But
like, record it, you know, with my voice and read the words and then cut it. Like, ooh. Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be so fucking funny.
But again, for singing, that's different because not everybody can sing. You have to hold that talent.
Right.
So the talent for you is the singing part, not the writing part. For rappers, the talent is the writing part,
not the performance part.
Not the performance part. Because again, when you rap, you don't have to rap over no beat. You can just rap. Just
Right, spoken word.
Spoken word. So the singing, the talent is in the singing part, not the writing part.
Yeah.
You could get writers. You know, say nobody's gonna hate you for getting writers. But as a rapper, you better write that rhyme yourself. Because that's the skill in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they should let it go. I think by letting it go and encouraging it, they should own it and like make it a thing. Let it expand and grow from there. In award shows, in music shows, it's just recently that genres are stepping into the categories, right?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know what if it was acting or if it was music that they were like, okay, we're gonna have this, we're gonna add this genre to these award ceremonies because we recognize it's a thing.
Yeah,
I think it's like Latinos or something Spanish.
Oh yeah, yeah, they probably do that. Yeah.
So by giving, like letting things go into subcategories, we're just adding, we're broadening the artist pool or the creativity part about it.
Yeah.
Like music awards, right? You think of what? When you think of music awards, you think of, what is it called?
BET Awards?
But, no, MBs? But it's separate, right? BET is separate.
BET is specific for a genre.
For a genre,
but for genres, technically, that's
it has multiple genres,
R&B and hip hop, and you know, but they don't have rock.
They don't have rock.
No,
you go to the other music awards. I don't know, but
think about it, country music have their own, right? They have their own award show, country music, because
they have their own awards, the country whatever awards,
country music awards or whatever, yeah,
whatever. But then,
what's the music one called? I'm thinking of Emmys, but I'm
not. I'm thinking of MTV Music Awards.
The Grammys.
With the little.
Yeah. But Grammys is based off, I don't even know what they based the things off of. I think it's just based off of straight talent. I don't think it matters how much money you make.
Or the genre?
I think they have certain genres. But,
but not all of them.
But they have country, they have hip hop. They do, they have it all. But not all of them, technically not all of them.
They don't have reggaeton.
They don't have reggaeton.
They don't have salsa.
They don't have salsa. I don't think they have salsa. I don't know.
So based on that, what would you say are the major?
But then again, those are different languages, so they probably look at it like, oh, they're gonna have to make their own thing. Because they're like,
but R&B is not the different language. They don't have that. It's not
like we have Bollywood. Oh yeah, they gotta have R&B. I don't know if they call it R&B, but they call it singing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't watch the Grammys. I have no idea.
No, I don't know either. But it's interesting in this context, in this conversation, how to sort of break down the way they broke it down. Because at one point, it was just the Grammys, right? And like, you won a Grammy. Yeah. This bitch got 7 Grammys.
And it's funny because there's people now that are like, Grammys mean nothing to me.
I think Grammys is like saying the basic genres and the top of the class for singing. But I don't think rap is in there either, no?
I don't know if I don't. They would not rap. Hip hop is in there.
They exactly. Yeah. So, but if you go into the hip hop category, is hip hop rap, or is hip hop dance music?
I don't know. I don't know. That's the way they label it. But they do have within the Grammys. They have also like audiobooks, I think, because that's what Barack Obama won. He won a Grammy for an audiobook.
Wow.
Yeah. When it shouldn't be, it should be a Pulitzer Prize, whatever they call it, for the writing.
Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Okay, so Barack Obama won a Grammy for a book. Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize for a record album, a rap album. Because they looked at his writing within the album, and they were like, this deserves a Pulitzer Prize.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But
that is funny. That's wild to think about it. As a rapper, his writing was so deep that they were like, this deserves
a writer's award.
Yeah. At least, I mean, even that, just the nomination alone.
But did it get a Grammy?
Wow. Who? Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
I think he did. I think he won a few of them, yeah.
But for the same thing?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, this may be talking on my ass. I think he won almost as much Grammys as Drake.
What a wild thing. Where do you see music in... Where do you see... Okay, so on that note, keep it to the topic. Where do you see hip-hop 10 years from now?
That's a good question, because it's always changing, it's always evolving. And just like we did, just like you were talking about the Limp Bizkit and the Jay-Z, that it kind of like
crossed.
There may be a time in the future where some new genre of music comes out and hip hop goes in that direction. And what if it sticks? What if they're like, this is the next step in hip hop, this new thing? You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to decide, because hip hop is such a wide, varied thing. You know?
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar has 17 Grammys, by the way.
Hold that.
17.
How many does your boy have? His boyfriend?
Drake.
Because if you're writing a song about me, nigga, you're my boyfriend. You heard?
Drake has five.
Five?
Drake has five Grammys.
Damn, homie.
That's a crazy. But again, Grammys, I mean, as far as I understand, Grammys are based off of skill versus sales. Drake dominates in sales. Kendrick doesn't dominate in sales, because Kendrick is a subgenre. Drake is a wide audience guy.
Right. Drake is Pitbull.
Yeah, Drake is Pitbull. So a lot of white girls like his music. Not a lot of white girls like some of the Kendrick albums.
Don't like him at all.
Yeah. So it's a different, they're going for a different audience. Drake is throwing a wide net. Kendrick is like, nah, I'm sticking within my lane. This is the music I like to make. You can buy it or you don't buy it, I don't care, but this is the music I like to make. Drake is hiring people to write his music, hiring people because he wants to get the biggest amount of money possible. I don't think that necessarily Kendrick.
You ask a girl, you like Big Pun? Or the fuck was Pitbull. I was like, what the fuck is this nigga's name? They're gonna say Pitbull.
Yeah. But now okay, listen to Big Pun. Big Pun is a rapper. You know what I'm saying? If you go to the I forget the name of the album, but if you go to it, you listen to some of the songs, they're not popular songs. But if you listen to his words, they're insane.
Right.
His rapping is insane.
Right. So if you ask the same thing, to keep it in context, if you ask a girl, who do you like more, Big Pun or what was the other super nigga's name? Fucking guy.
I don't know. You said Big Pun with Pitbull?
With Pitbull. They're going to say Pitbull. Oh, I love him. He's so funny. And yeah. The stupid song.
You know what's another one that goes into Pitbull's genre? Flo Rida?
No, I don't think I've heard of him. Probably have.
You've heard his music for sure.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. But 10 years from now, that question... I mean, that dilemma that Busta Rhymes brought to the table is still going to be prominent.
Oh, yeah.
Because niggas don't know how that should go.
I'm hoping that within 10 years, we do decide we need subgenres within this music.
Yeah.
You know? Because we have subgenres in rock.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, then you have even within pop music, you have different kind of, you know, we have EDM and all that. Like, there's different... You know, even like, okay, so techno, you got EDM, you got like, you know, that type. We know what kind of music that is. You know what I'm saying? So like,
that's true.
And
I was thinking of classical music. This song.
Does freestyle fall within that genre? You know what I'm saying?
Probably, yeah.
You know, freestyle is definitely like a precursor of pop. You know what I'm saying? It's dancing music with some singing. You know what I'm saying? All right, I think we beat this dead horse. What do you guys think? Does hip hop need subgenres?
Does hip hop need subgenres, or are they already there but not getting the
attention,
this seal of approval?
Yeah.
And who the fuck decides this? The numbers.
The committee. You know who you are.
Oh, AOC. We out.